Right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. We've been talking about payouts. We've been talking about how a Baltimore judge has decided and ruled that Baltimore City must cover payments to a victim of the Gun Trace Task Force for their settlement. And you want to know how much that judgment is? $32,000. Now, considering, that's something, but considering some of the other payouts that the city has been burdened to pay, that is a drop in the bucket. The city has been at there's a rising cost right now. It was reported by the Baltimore Brew last month that the city is looking to pay out at least $25 million, $24.5 million. And that cost is rising. The crazy part is, folks, Baltimore taxpayers, we're paying for it. We are absolutely paying for it. And we're paying for it in a big way when police are not acting within the scope of their employment. This is supported by Maryland law. This is supported by the labor agreement between the police union and the city that the police need to cover, that the city, should cover the legal fees and any judgment for any officer for actions within their employment scope, even if those actions are illegal. Now, I want to share with you what the FOP put out in their statement back in May of 2018, just last year, because then City Council President Jack Young was saying that the fact that the FOP needs to pay up, they need to chip in when these settlement costs are coming in. Well, this is what the FOP said. The former president, Gene Ryan, the new president is Mr. Frank Mancuso. But former President Gene Ryan wrote this letter to the city council president when he said, while we agree with President Young that $9 million is a lot of money, this was for another case. We have $9 million, folks. This is for another case. $9 million. We have never been able to fathom why the City Board of Estimate continues to pay these exorbitant settlements. As a perfect example, with the family of Freddie Gray was given $6.4 million of the city's taxpayers' money, even though our officers had not even spent one day in court. At the end of that dreadful saga, our members were acquitted or cleared of all responsibility, making that $6.4 million payment completely unnecessary and an irresponsible expenditure. At the very least, we believe that strong fiduciary responsibility requires the Board of Estimate. This is the Board of Estimate is the board that handles how the money moves in the city. This is a 5-person board controlled by the mayor to consider settlements only after all facts are considered. Here's what Mr. Gene Ryan had to say about settlements. He said, another fact that Mr. Young needs to understand is that the members of the Baltimore Police Department do not work for the FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police. We are simply the union who represents them in their labor issues. Our members are employed by the City of Baltimore, and any damages paid are the responsibility of the employer. Mr. Young's statement implies an unfamiliarity with the labor management conventions. So any damages paid are the responsibility of the employer. But then you also have a law from that is supported in the state of Maryland and within his labor agreement to require the city to indemnify the officers. So you want to put, so your officers are, can just do rogue stuff, all of this illegal stuff, and then you put it on the city to pick up the pieces and clean up the mess and to pay out the victims. And there really is no financial consequences to the officers. Outside of the officers going to jail, if the officers have found that they've done some level of misconduct and they are fired or something along those lines, like the officers don't have to pay. They could just walk away from the whole situation with their pockets intact. Let's go back to the line. Wayne, Baltimore City, what's your take?
Hey, man, thanks for letting the brother ride.
Absolutely, Wayne.
Faraji, I'm sorry, but the people got to pay.
The city?
That's the city, and by representation, the people, we got to pay. We can't let our representatives, okay? We have a representative-style government here, okay? You know, we elect the representatives who are in charge of a police department, okay, you know, which is another level of representation, to keep us in line, okay? Now, part of that responsibility is making sure they ain't putting a bunch of low-down dirty dogs out on the street so that they can chew us up and spit us out.
Right.
But that's what happened. Now, we know that Baltimore has a long history of corruption in the police department.
Right.
To include, you know, and let's not forget our white brothers and sisters who have, you know, benefited, you know, from that, okay? But guess what? We all gotta pay.
But is that fair, though, Dwayne? Dwayne, is that fair?
Yes, it's fair, because guess what?
What?
Because if one side of the city sat on their butts and watched the other side of the city be abused by these cops for all this time, that makes us all guilty. We're all guilty. And I'm not even from Baltimore, but guess what? I got to pay, too. We're all guilty of sitting in our butts, whether we knew it or not.
No, you can't. No, that doesn't make sense, Dwayne. You can't be guilty for something you didn't know.
Responsible.
How do you? How? But listen. Here's what I'm saying.
Just because you don't know doesn't mean you're not responsible. That's the situation, Faraji. Okay, it may not be your fault, but we're all responsible. So what?
We're not in the police department, though, Dwayne. We're not in the police department.
We are responsible for our representative-style government.
Okay. Here's the thing, though. What I'm responsible for and what I expect is that I want to have a police department to serve and protect me and my family, right? With the same thing goes right. for you, right? So if a police right. officer is acting outside of the bounds of that, they're doing illegal stuff, the evidence support that, Then a settlement is rendered, a judgment is rendered, and a settlement is decided. You mean to tell me that I have to pay for something that I didn't bank on? That doesn't make sense.
Raji,
that's like going to a restaurant. You getting a crappy food. You getting some terrible food from a restaurant, but then you gotta pay. You still gotta pay the chef. Because of the time he made to make your crappy food. You got to pay? You wouldn't do that. You would fight. You would say, you know what? This is terrible. I'm not paying.
Roger, you my man, 50 grand, but you didn't elect the chef. You didn't elect the chef, but you did elect a government who's supposed to oversee the police department. And see, look, Roger, we're not going to have a better Baltimore until everybody feels responsible for Baltimore. And so, unless.
But everybody doesn't feel responsible, Dwayne. The FOP clearly said that it's their job, that they just represent officers and labor practices, that they're not taking full responsibility. They'll take responsibility when officers, whether they do right or wrong, they'll take responsibility when people beat up on police officers. But they don't take responsibility when you look at how this is costing the city, the financial cost, the emotional cost, the mental cost. It's just like, you know, when I would think responsible governance comes in when you say you okay, yes, I agree. The union is responsible for labor. But then if the union is sitting in a city like Baltimore City that has historic corruption and seeing all of these issues within the police department happening, the union should be like, you know what, let's come up with a new idea on how to address this to bring some level of peace, sanity, and justice to the citizens of Baltimore. Instead of saying, hey, we just deal with labor and making sure that our officers get paid well to make sure that, Come on.
We can't get to a better Baltimore until we feel the pain of allowing a corrupt police force to operate the way the Baltimore police force operated. When the citizens, see, we haven't reached that magical threshold that I'm always telling you and Dr. K about. When we have had absolutely enough, where we just can't take it no more, then we will demand the kind of reform.
What does that look like? When we feel the pain, how long you been in Baltimore, Dwayne?
About 2.5-3 years.
Dwayne.
Wait a minute, hold on, Dwayne.
Dwayne, listen, I heard you, brother. I heard you. We felt this pain. We've been feeling this pain. We've been feeling this pain for at least 20 years, Dwayne. We felt this pain. How much more pain do we need to get? I gotta let you go, Dwayne. You know you're my guy, but I gotta let you go. But I have to push back on that. We felt this pain. We felt the pain. Too many lives have been lost and damaged and broken. We felt the pain. If the police department was acting. Look, let me just say, case in point, the FOP just put out another statement saying that the police department is the management of the police department is broken, and it's the disarray and chaotic. They just put this word out, and it's like, okay, so how are you guys going to fix this? You see what I'm saying? Like, we're the citizens. How much input do you want the citizens of Baltimore to have in fixing and repairing an agency that is funded by the city, overseen by the state, and protected by the FOP? I don't get it. The union said that they represent the rank and file, and they said the police department is in chaos, where leaders who blame violence in part on a shortage of officers have no concept of the agency's current staffing, no effective plan for utilizing existing officers, and no ability to retain them. According to the union president, Sergeant Mike Mancuso, he said the Baltimore City Police Department does not know how many employees they have, where they are assigned, what their rank is, and in many cases, what their job functions are. So they put out a report called The Mismanagement of the Baltimore Police Department and Its Impact on Public Safety. So you wanna blow up your own police department because you don't like the personalities that are in leadership. You veil it as your voice and advocate for the people, but the interest really relies on making sure that your officers get in the most out of the deal at the expense of the people. And that's not good, nor is it right, nor is it just. Mr. Mancuso? So we felt this pain. How much pain do we have to take when the city does not want to have any engagement or real interaction, or do not believe that any real relationship is going to come from the Baltimore City Police Department? When you get pulled over, you don't know who you're going to get. Officer friendly or officer bust you in the head. Come on, man. Let's be real. And we're paying for this. That's why it's important that we have these conversations. I don't mind us debating about it, but at the end of the day, if these conversations don't lead to any type of real reform, or more importantly, any justice for all of us, This is not a blanket statement saying that all cops are bad. We know that, folks. I think we're pretty intelligent enough to know in this day and time, not every single police officer of the Baltimore City Police Department is bad. That's not happening. But the leadership mentality of the rank and file need to be not just evaluated, needs to change. Let's go back to the phone line, see what you got to say. Thomas.
Hey, Roger.
Hey, Real Thomas. What's up, big brother?
What's up, big brother? Hey, listen, let's just put it where you can get it.
Yeah.
If you take $100 million of that $500 million they get,
yeah,
put into a fund for payouts, that'd be more than enough to pay out what needs to be paid out right there.
Real Thomas, that's too much like right. Let me just say, that's too much like right, brother.
Okay.
That's too much like,
yeah.
But here's the thing, though, Thomas. Look. We understand that the police department's working around 2,000 officers. You got to pay people. You got to pay for, you know, it's a whole facility. You know that. All of these
but
things
they
that.
They never spend the whole $500 million that
yeah.
we give them anyway, Faraji. Take $100 million away, put it into a fund for payouts, right? Now, to further solve that problem, right?
Yeah.
Make those officers an at-will officer, okay? You know what I mean when I say at-will?
Describe that for me.
Baltimore City needs to go to, like, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is an at-will state, which means you work at the will of your employers. And if your employers don't like the job that you're doing,
mm-hmm.
guess what? They can get rid of you any day, anyhow. For any kind of way.
They don't have a union in Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania has a union, but guess what? Those officers in Pennsylvania are at-will officers.
Okay.
They work at the will of the state or the municipality that they're in. And that's what the state of Maryland needs to go to be an at-will state. Because, you know, therefore, if your employer comes to you and says, Roger, you're not doing a good enough job.
Yeah.
Or you didn't raise enough money on WEAA this year.
Right.
They have the right to get rid of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it needs to be with these officers, man. We need to have a right to get rid of them. And then guess what? That policeman's bill of right.
Yeah.
Then it'll be null and void.
Hey, Real Thomas, you know what? After all of this talk about policing and it, you know that policeman, that Bill of Rights is still intact? Like, there hasn't been any real changes to that situation, brother?
That's why it needs to be at-will. You make those officers at-will officers,
yeah.
They will no longer be, they can no longer hide behind that police Bill of Rights.
Right. There it is. Real Thomas checking in. I appreciate you, man. Thank you for your patience. And I like that idea, at-will. Now, I know there's some officers that may be listening and say, look, Faraji, it's not that black or white. I understand. And I'm not trying to put nobody's livelihood in jeopardy. I'm just trying to find a common place where we can get quality service. And at the same time, when violations do occur, we can find justice for those victims. That's the place I'm trying to get us to. All right, let's go back to the line. Let me hear from Sharice from Columbia. Sharice, what's your take on this?
Hi, Faraji.
Hi.
First of all, I believe Maryland is an at-will state.
Okay.
I don't know if the police department is under that umbrella because of their unions, but Maryland is an at-will state. My second point is, Faraji, what percentage would you say of the killings in Baltimore City come from the police department?
Oh, it's probably very small.
Right. So wouldn't you say that, in my opinion, I'm not sure of the right word that describes exactly what I'm trying to say, except for the fact that the atmosphere that the community, the urban community portrays, I feel is the way the police department treats us. For example, we need to deal with this black-on-black crime first and foremost. I'm an Uber, Lyft driver.
Uh-huh.
I drive all through the neighborhoods, trash everywhere. I mean, we live on a farm or something. You know, in fact, farms are cleaner than some areas I've seen of Baltimore City.
I can imagine.
So why should a police? It's just like, why should people respect you if you don't respect yourself? That's a basic humanity principle that our family, families teach us, and it applies to them.
I think that's a slippery slope, Sharice, because if you're saying that the police should not respect us, I mean, first and foremost, your job is to protect and serve us. So you have
to have
a certain lens or a certain view to see everybody as human beings and not just animals. You know what I mean?
Well, you got to sprinkle racism on this.
Right, and that's another part of it. You got to sprinkle racism. Certain level of bias and prejudice is absolutely a part of the conversation. But it's important. I mean, look, if somebody is living in a dirty neighborhood, right? When the police gets on a scene, because you already come into the scene with power, you already come into the table with power and authority. And so why make a human being feel less than they already do because of their circumstances? Because you have the power and authority to make them feel less than. Come on the scene and you could be like, hey, sir, ma'am, you can, you know, handle whatever business, deal with whatever situation it is. But if you treat people with respect, maybe that will open up the light in their heads to say, man, here's an individual with power and authority treating me with respect. Maybe I should start seeing myself in a different light. Because it could get to be a very slippery slope. So if we treat ourselves with disrespect, I mean, the whole thing of being a police officer, Sharice, isn't that about community service? Isn't that that's a part of this? Isn't it about community engagement? You got to see people as human beings if you are an officer. I know it's hard. I know it can be challenging. But when you treat people with respect, then guess what? They'll see you with respect, and then maybe, hopefully, prayerfully, they can treat themselves with respect. Look, folks, I got to take my final break. Sharice, thank you so much for checking in from Columbia. John, Tyrone, Florence, Mitch, Ronald, I got you. Stay riding with me. It's For the Culture here on WEAA.
I do this for my culture. I do this for my culture.
Welcome back to For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. Folks, let me ask you, hopefully we can have, I'm trying to push the needle on this conversation and wrap my mind around all that I'm hearing from you and just my understanding and seeing of things. You know, and I think, again, this is the reason why we should have these discussions, because there are a lot of layers, there are a lot of dynamics that have to be considered, excuse me. And I think it's important that we talk this thing out, because I don't know. I feel like something is missing from the conversation. Something is missing. Now, to Sharice's point, I think one of the things that, and Sharice, I hear you loud and clear, but I think it's possible for us to do a few things at once. I've often heard the argument that, you know, instead of focusing on this, let's put all of our attention or put our attention on that, and vice versa. I don't think we have the liberty, or I don't think that we have, I just don't think we have the liberty of doing it. We have a lot of challenges facing the Black community, right? So And I don't think that since we're not a monolithic group of people, that we can just stick to one thing. One, because it's a lot of us that would need to be organized. Two, people have different interests. And I think that in order for us to really get the most out of this, out of our people that are willing to help in any of these causes and fights, we have to just say, look, here are the issues. Who is willing to help from there? And then get the ball rolling. I know that I hear that you're right. There are, we got a lot of things dealing with black-on-black crime, and we got other things dealing with the school system and all of these things. But I feel like we're just going to have to learn how to multitask a little bit. We're just going to have to learn how to multitask. And I might be wrong on this, folks. You let me know. Let me go back to the lines here, what you got to say. Tyrone from Catonsville, thank you for checking in and for your patience. What's your take on this?
You're not wrong, Faraji. The police were brutalizing black people when Dr. King was marching. We had Afro Clean Block.
Come on.
So it has nothing to do with, how we're, yeah, we should have clean neighborhoods, but there are blacks being brutalized in clean neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying? Every black person in a dirty neighborhood is not a polluter.
Right.
You can't generalize about people. And because somebody else does wrong doesn't mean you need to be brutalized for it. So
that's a great point.
That being said, the only way we're going to solve this problem is to make the police department and or the police union accountable, because then they'll police themselves. So if you, let's say the police union had a fund, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, money came out of that fund every time a police officer did something that was jacked up. The police union would intend to defend them every time they do something to us.
Right.
Because it would be taking money out of their pockets.
So let me ask you this, though, Tyrone. Where would the money to start the fund come from?
It's going to have to come from the salaries of the police officers. They're going to have to pitch in, just like my union. We pitch in money for different things.
Okay.
Because I'm a member of a union, too. Now, granted, because of the history of the police,
that's a good point.
In Baltimore. Right now, the police, they have no accountability whatsoever.
Yeah.
If you go down and beat your butt, that's going to happen to me. I probably won't get prosecuted. I wanted to pay out of pocket, and neither will my union, and neither will the department. We don't have nothing to lose by beating you down. So this is what people got to understand. This is about accountability. The money does not belong to the city anyway. It is the citizens' money.
Yeah.
The city has no money. And what you're doing is you're making the victim pay for being brutalized. That's ridiculous. How are you going to ask the victim to pay for butt whipping? That's what I mean by.
Wow.
It's really quite simple. It's about accountability.
Hey, Tyrone.
Thank you for your time, sir.
Hey, can I just say wow? You're paying for the victim to be being brutalized. Wow.
Absolutely. That's why the state shouldn't pay it either. We pay state taxes as well. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you, Tyrone. I appreciate you. Now, Tyrone threw out another idea, which I think is a valid one. So the police pay union dues. I know teachers do this, and in certain professions, you have a union, you pay dues. A portion of those dues should be going to establish a separate fund. It may not be a lot, but at least it's something. I like that. Mr. Mancuso from the FOP Lodge number 3. What about that one, sir? I like that. I think that makes sense. A portion of your dues will go toward this special fund. Check this out, folks. Listen, imagine this. If we actually had that set up within the union, where a portion of the dues go to your separate fund, I bet you right then and there, police will be like, hey, man, the police will start correcting themselves because it's coming out their pockets. Police brutality go down a long way. That little blue wall of silence will get real loud. They'd be like, nah, man, what are you doing? What are you doing? Nah, bruh. Nah, Sarge, we can't do that, sir. Mr. Lieutenant, I got you, sir, but this is coming out of my pocket. The union should maybe set aside a portion, allocate a portion of their dues to help to establish a separate fund. Makes sense to me. Florence, does it make sense to you? Checking in from Pikesville. Florence, we got you. All right, Florence, give us a call right back. Certainly want to hear from you. John, Baltimore, then Mitch. John, what's your take on this?
Hey, Faraji.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you first?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Good. I got a quick question.
Yeah.
Is $32,000 you talking about, is that for somebody who was arrested by the drug?
No, they had...
One of the people was in an accident or something?
No, they had illegally planted a gun on a man.
Okay, so he was illegally arrested.
Yep.
And then, okay, I was just trying to be sure whether this is the case where the old man was killed and that kind of thing. Was that kind
of...
Nah,
I don't think this is the same case, John. No, okay, no, it's not the same case. Mm-mm.
Okay. All right, but here's my thing. I guess I might as well move out of Baltimore. If the citizens going to be, I'm going to have to double dip because we're going to have to pay for the regular budget and then we're going to have to pay for the screw-up budget.
Mm.
I mean, I might as well stop paying city taxes and just move. So, it's straight crazy. I mean, if I got to pay for them to do their regular job, but then I got to pay when they screw up, okay, now, so where's the...
Hey, John, you're not paying for just their regular job. You're not paying for when they mess up, but you're also paying for the litigation, the legal fees, sir.
Right. I mean, all that. I mean that goes with the mess up.
Yeah.
But then my other question is, where's the pension money from these officers?
You said where is it? Well, right. That's part of the city budget. That's part of what they get from the city budget.
Okay, but here's my thing.
Yeah.
But for an officer who screws up like this task force did.
Yeah.
Where are their pension money now?
Now, that's a good question.
Are their family going to get the pension?
I don't know.
Or are we going to pay these victims and everybody else out of their pension money?
You know what?
The
right thing to do would be to pay the victims out of the pension money, right? Or something.
Right, that's what I say.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. I don't think there's enough pension money to go around because State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby is working on these 790 cases that may have to be thrown out or vacated because of their involvement from the officers from the task force.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I understand that.
So I don't know if we have enough money.
But we got to start with something.
No, you're right.
Here's my thing.
Go
ahead. I'm going to lie for Roger.
Go ahead.
If they weren't thinking about their families when they were doing the dirt, so therefore the houses that they bought, all that other stuff, their families had to give it up, and that money that's sold for the selling the house or whatever, so you now go to these victims. Because I'm with you, Faraj. Me and a friend of mine was having the same conversation earlier. That if people start suing, you're going to have homeboy who is actually guilty may get away with a couple $1,000s even though he was guilty.
There it is. John, thank you so much. Got to let you go. Mitch, then I want to hear from Liz after Mitch. Mitch, what's your take? And thank you for your patience.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
I think something that you mentioned about being missing from this conversation and something that we could actually pull some funds from if you really wanted to, you know, rattle some cages is the police overtime. That is another thing that we are paying for as citizens.
And
if you actually look at the data, I think there's a website called BaltimoreCopWatch.com or Baltimore Watchdog, something like that.
Okay, we'll check it out.
Yeah, it's a database of every police officer in Baltimore, and it shows you their pay, and it also shows you per year the money that they claimed for overtime. Now, I had this officer help me out with a car accident, and I was just curious. I looked him up because I actually didn't like how it all went down at the scene, and I looked him up on this website. And one year, I think it was 2013, he made maybe $3,000 in overtime.
Mm.
The next year, Faraji, 2014, he made $90,000 in overtime.
Jeez!
One officer.
Well, you know what, Mitch? You and I, and I'm sure a lot of people, we've been hearing these stories now. These stories are finally coming to light of the crazy overtime. We talked about the 24-year veteran, who is it, Officer Nuremberg?
Yeah.
$260,000? I mean, I couldn't imagine. I mean, that was double. I think he was already bringing in $100,000, like 107.
Right.
And now you're adding that on top. So you're right. That will cap it. Now, here's the domino effect of this, the possibility of that, Mitch, is, okay, if police are doing overtime, and the reason that they're doing overtime is because they don't really have a lot of officers. But they got to cover the shifts. They got to cover these units. They got to cover all of this. You know, they got to do the job. So now, if you cap it, then you potentially could be taking more officers off the street.
Potentially, Faraji. But you have to remember, when Catherine Pugh was the mayor, there were cases where police officers were admitting to falsifying their overtime.
That's true.
So how many officers do you think are doing that that haven't been caught?
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, you're making that's a good point.
There's a lot more.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Mitch, I don't even have an answer to that, Mitch, to be honest with you.
It's a slippery slope, like you said, and it's definitely something worth looking into. I mean, it's another pool of money that we are paying for as citizens.
So my thing is this a worthy conversation to put on the ballot or to have as we are getting closer to at least the city elections in April? Do you think it's a worthy conversation?
I think it's totally worth being put on the ballot, especially, like I said, if officers are admitting to falsifying their overtime slips.
Yeah.
And you have officers claiming $100,000, $200,000 in overtime.
Yeah.
That money is going to add up quick. And I think the city would like to see some of that money, if it's being falsified, they would like to see some of that money going to places that it needs to be going to, like people's families who have been wronged by the police department.
Now, here's the thing, Mitch. Have you ever heard of somebody paying, like, the FOP or some other law enforcement entity paying the city back for all of that falsified overtime? Like, who pays it back? Okay, so we found somebody has falsified overtime. They got paid, right?
Yeah.
So
I have not heard of them paying back or any instances of those funds being paid back. That's definitely worth looking into.
You know what I'm saying? So if the city solicitor, Mr. Andre Davis, decides to sue these individuals for taking this money,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that may be a course of action. I don't know. But I haven't heard of anybody actually paying back. Okay, if you falsify...
And also, you have to think of, for the Freddie Gray trial, for example,
the
officers that got exonerated, they never... it's not like they weren't suspended without pay.
Yeah.
Most of them, to my knowledge, were suspended with pay.
Yeah.
So you're also paying for things like that. I mean, it's hairy and it's nasty, and that nobody's going to be happy about any proposal that goes forward. Nobody in my mind being like the police officers or something like that. But it's slippery. There's lots of money going to very few places, and I don't know if it'll come back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mitch, thank you so much for checking in. Good comment there. Liz, thank you for your patience, ma'am. What's your take on this?
Yeah, my take on it, Faraji. How you doing, by the way?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, I have a lot to say. This has been going on, since the 60s and 70s, all of this mess with the police. Now,
mm-hmm.
What they should do is what Ferguson did. Ferguson shut them down, pretty much.
The government shut Ferguson down.
Yeah, well, that's with the consent decree, but I mean, it needs to be shut down
and
all over again, because, I mean, they're completely they've been out of control for years. I don't know if you remember when they had a town hall at Coppin. It was through Department of Justice, was right before the Freddie Gray civil unrest.
Mm-hmm.
They had people outside of the building, like a couple of blocks, and they had people complaining, like, back from the 60s. Of the abuse that they had suffered at the hands of the Baltimore City Police Department. That's how long it's been going on. It's been going on. But what I really wanted to say was, they have, the state of Maryland had a hearing. This was after Freddie Gray. And I went down there to help the mothers that had teenagers that were slain by police, not just in Baltimore City, but all throughout the state of Maryland. And we tried to get the state legislature to enact new laws to curtail some of this behavior. Because, like you said, you're right. A lot of the behavior is at the state level. They're up to the state, but they some kind of way, I guess they get the money to the city. But the state has a lot to do with it because the state, and quite frankly, the lawmakers in this state do nothing to them. Because they couldn't get away with the behavior they get away, the misconduct, or whatever you want to call it, harassment, that they get away with if the lawmakers didn't uphold them. Just like they let them back out on the street, those police officers that killed Freddie Gray.
Yeah.
They never did anything for Corn Gaines, even though, you know, a black woman with a gun, but that's a whole nother issue, because if you're going to pick on her, then she can't have a gun in her apartment, and every white person in the whole country shouldn't have any guns in their house. You understand where I'm coming
from?
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so, but anyway, so yes, yeah, it's a state issue. They really need to do something at the state level to change the LOBER. It's Law Officers Enforcement's Bill of Rights, where they have more rights than the citizens of the state.
No, you're right. You're right.
This is just not a city thing. They harass black people all over the whole state.
And that's the thing, Liz. Like, at the end of the day, if the lawmakers are not really speaking out against this, right? Because, again, the narrative and the context of this conversation has been from an effect side of the equation, not really getting to the cause. The cause is you have a law that justifies this action. Therefore, police know this. Therefore, they can behave or the police department or the union can just kind of do what they need to do. Right?
That's right. And you absolutely, because when we went down to the hearing in Annapolis, they took up all the seats. And I don't know if you remember this guy. He's the one that has this thing with the toilet. He puts the toilet out in front of the courthouses.
Oh, yeah. Shorty.
Yes. Get up and let some of these poor mothers whose children have been murdered by you, let them sit down.
Yeah.
We even sit down, you know, the black mothers and me, of course, we had to stand up, and they all sitting down there. But see, once again, it's the lawmaker's fault, because they go down there to Annapolis, whatever they want, money, grants, tools, services, whatever they want, and specifically to harass the black community, because none of this stuff they use in the white areas. It's all in the black community.
Well, you know what, Liz? You bring up an excellent point. I think that there needs to be some new conversations. One is, we do have an upcoming General Assembly that's going to be kicking off in January of next year. So if we are talking about, and then that General Assembly is probably going to be ending just a little bit before the city election. So all of this that we're talking about can be discussed through your state legislator during this year's General Assembly, especially in those congressional, those state districts in West Baltimore and some of the hot spots where a lot of brutalities have been taking place.
Yes,
all of that can be addressed, or at least there can be some more clarity about which way to go with this issue. Because I think you're absolutely you're right on point. I remember going down there with my brothers in 2014,
mm-hmm,
no,
right.
2015, excuse me, 15. Just before Freddie Gray,
right.
And seeing all of the officers from around the state,
that's right,
coming out to defend the law enforcement Bill of Rights, the officers' Bill of Rights.
That's right.
And it was mind-boggling for me, and just it opened my eyes to see when you have, I mean, you walking into a hearing room, and you see everything from police officers to state to the state police. You got Howard County Police and Anne Arundel, and it doesn't matter. And I remember testifying there to share my experience with the police, and as compelling as these testimonies were,
mm-hmm,
it still did not push the needle.
Valerio was the chairman of that judiciary committee.
Right.
Everything, thank God they finally put that crook off. That's why I call him a crook. That's what he is, a crook.
Because
wow. I had a fellow there down there to stop foreclosures on people, and he suppressed that. He suppressed everything. I'm glad they finally got him off there. Hopefully with some new blood in there, maybe things can change.
Well, the new blood, see, when we say new blood, the new blood cannot be a new face. The new blood got to be new spirit, new energy, and a new vision.
You down there, but I want to get this in real quick.
Go ahead, Liz.
What they're doing, the Black Lives Matter protest activists, as we speak, these people are being harassed and terrorized every day by the same police that they let out on the street right here in Baltimore. You know, you don't hear anything about Black Lives Matter in Baltimore. They put all those people in jail, all those protesters, and what did they have to put in jail? They have are currently harassing these people every day to the point to the Black Lives Matter people in Oakland, California.
Wow.
The ACLU on the West Coast.
Wow.
And New York to bring a lawsuit against the FBI, who wrote a 100-page report right after Obama got out. And I guess Trump allowed them to, you know, I guess put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had called black lives, and basically black people speak out against police misconduct, identity extremists and terrorists, and put them on a watch list, whereby every day you got helicopters following you, planes, and every other. I mean, it's unbelievable. And who's paying for this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Liz, you said a mouthful. I appreciate you, sister, for checking in. You made some very, very good points. And I think as I was listening to you about that piece, you know, bringing such legal minds such as the ACLU into this conversation of looking at this Maryland law and trying to figure out, is this legal? Can this be changed? What are some of the what's the best course of action to address this? Because it can't just be that this is it, folks. This cannot just be it. You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine going another 10, 15, 20 years with this level of governance, quote unquote? This lack of accountability, this political footballing with the issue, you know, the payouts for this issue. Can you imagine another 10, 15, 20 years? That's why I'm suggesting that, you know, the conversation needs to be had at the state house, because this is a state agency as much as it's a part of the city. And the conversation needs to be had at the voters booth to see if we can have a new discussion about empowering the city council, so that way they can be a part of the decision-making process and the oversight of the police department. I know that's going to shift things like dramatically. But if the city council can't do anything but just quote unquote hold leadership accountable, put the pressure on them, what does that look like? What does that actually mean? And what's the end result of that? We got another caller on the line. Okay. So as we talk about this, folks, I want us to think to think critically about this, because money is being paid out each and every day. Money is coming out of this city. And, you know, I remember having a show and I was using the term, the city is hemorrhaging money and talent. We're hemorrhaging money and talent, hemorrhaging money and skills. And the police department is in need of new leadership. And now what I'm saying is that I'm not saying to get rid of Commissioner Harris, not saying that at all. I'm saying that the leadership has to come from the management level, the ranking. I mean, we all got to be in a different space. But more importantly, the citizens should not have to be the ones to carry the burden of misconduct, of illegal practices by the police department. We shouldn't be bearing that brunt. We've already invested in making sure that the police does its job. So now we have to carry and bear the brunt of when the police is not doing their job too. And so people wonder why there is such a disdain between the police and the community. People wonder why there is such a hatred between the police and the community, because at the end of the day, there's no justice between the police and the community. There's no fairness. There is no good dealings between the police and the community. And I'm saying police, including the FOP. So we have to have these conversations because they are vitally important to make sure that unless we want to really deal with the issue, we got to start and look at what are the policies that support these issues? What are the attitudes that allow these issues? And what are the behaviors that continue these issues? Mm-hmm.